Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, where we take a journey around the world learning about social etiquette and traditions. Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Henry Peterson. He's from the Faroe Islands. The Faroe Islands? How on earth did you arrive in Malta from the Faroe Islands?
I lived in Copenhagen before, for 5 years, before I came to Malta. As part of my studies, I took one semester as an exchange student in the Erasmus program. I arrived in autumn 2009, and I've been here since, actually. So.
Ah, you never went back after your studies? You
just No, I wrote my thesis here on the island, so that's since then I've been living and working in.
So what did you study then that brought you to Malta?
It was marketing. I have a degree in marketing, but it was not so much Malta, but I just felt like I needed to, let's say, open my eyes and get a bit different perspective of life.
So tell us a bit about the Faroe Islands, because it's not often you'd meet somebody from them.
No, mostly because we're 50,000 people. Mm-hmm. That's 1/8 part of Malta, if I calculate mm-hmm. correctly. And we are situated between Scotland and Iceland. Mm-hmm. Very rough weather conditions. We're surrounded by sea, and we are surrounded by the Gulf Stream, which makes it not too cold, but it doesn't get too warm either. It has a lot of rainy days.
But it's not somewhere people would actually go for tourism, or is there a tourism industry?
Strangely enough, the numbers are increasing now, flights, and it's year by year now. I think people are looking for something different nowadays. There's really good hiking opportunities, good and challenging food culture. So that's what I think people are looking for, the unique experience.
So what do you mean by unique and challenging?
Well, the culture is really different from anything else that I know, because now I've been traveling, so I'm a bit more of a global citizen than anything else. But when I go back and I realize how the Faroes are, I can completely say that it's really different.
So give some explanations. Is it like on a daily basis, or is it for particular occasions?
Yeah, I think it's also, it's kind of Malta in a way that it's very hospitable. So it's when I tell people that who can travel there, is you rather go and stay with an old lady in the basement, because that's where you experience the real Faroeness.
Okay, and so the difference would be the home cooking?
Yeah, the difference is like, the hospitality is so extreme is that you cannot avoid it. So it's so hard to put words into those emotions that you have when you're there, because you know practically everybody, especially from the area. I'm from a village with 100 people, less than 100. So okay. It is a paradise for kids. But absolutely. Paradise.
So you had a large family, you were telling me before. Yeah. So is the village mostly your family?
Yeah, well, now I have 12 siblings. I have 10 brothers, 2 sisters. So it's, but it's really unique for, not normal for nowadays, but, you know, 1-2 generations ago. But I guess my parents are unique. But we're a good family, good people, so that's, I'm not so concerned about that. But usually the average is around 2.5 or something with the families, the younger families.
So when you go back to the Faroe Islands, what's the first thing you ask, you know, your mum to make for you? What's the first thing you see?
She knows it, I don't have to. No. She's, everything's ready, so there's... She makes her own bread, so there's sheep meat, which is very straight. It's like the Parma ham, but it's a lamb leg, which is, we have something, a part of the house, which is called the chutler, okay. Where it's drafting, so it's dried, air-dried, uh-huh. But fermented. So it goes through a fermentation process. Mm-hmm. It has a strong taste, but that's delicious. And then there's a lot of sheep food, sheep sausages. Yeah, other to say different stages of freshness. Yeah.
So this sort of, it's not like a bacon, it's like a Parma ham of sheep. That's something that hasn't travelled.
No, because it's especially now they are selling it at the restaurant. So the first Michelin star restaurant was announced this spring. We went there last week. It's even for me it was a challenging, let's say, menu. Mm-hmm. Also because the stomachs have to be able to take that food. So that's some strong, really strong food. We do the same with the fish. So you air dry it. Some of the, we have a really big fishing industry. So they dry it at sea, mm-hmm. And it's, for me, it's absolutely like unique and delicious. So it's like fermentation of fish and lamb.
So what's the sort of the taste and the texture of the fish? Because obviously in the UK, we smoke a lot of fish. Is it the same sort of texture? It's moist on the inside, hard on the outside.
A bit more crispy on the outside, yes. Yeah, it's We use cod if you have proper fish for proper fish. I mean cod, not Atlantic cod. It's hard to beat that meat because it's a bit crispy on the outside, and then it's the same features of French smelly cheese.
Okay.
So it is, so it smells worse than it actually tastes. So it is actually. I think we have some food. We invite people when I have that food, when I take the food to Malta, cook it for people, and they actually like it. It's interesting, some of them, but they said, you know, after 3-4 bites, it is...
It's enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So are there particular foods, because the Faroe Islands self-sufficient?
Yeah, self-sufficient. Well, we're a part of the Danish kingdom, so I would say we're a sovereign entity. We have our own government, our own parliament. Have our own language, which is close to Icelandic, but it's a really old language. We say that the Vikings used to speak Faroese, so that is only 50,000 people in Faroe Islands, so I guess around 180 to 100,000 people speak that language. So I'm trying to teach my kids that.
Well. Ah, and do you have your own other traditions? So what happens, for example, when a child is born? What's the celebration around a child being born?
So we're... a Protestant country, Protestant meaning that we're not Lutheran, but we have our the normal church traditions. There's baptism, but this happens after 3 months. So actually the babies don't have a name before.
Okay.
So it's a really weird idea. But for me, our kids got a name when they were born, probably also before they were born. But so what you do, it's big, the baptism, but it's not as big as like you give them... Normally silverware, so engravings and stuff like that. But the biggest kids celebration is the confirmation.
Right.
Definitely. That's when the kids is like this almost tribal saying, this adulthood.
So the sort of 12, 13-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, you welcome them to adulthood. So that's the biggest celebration.
So they have their own party after the...
Yeah, after the church ceremony. So around 15 to 20... for spring and 24 for autumn.
Okay.
I was confirmated in autumn, I think. So you have around 80 to 100 people coming by for this, all kinds of food. So what I like to do is that, like, my partner, she's Maltese, when she comes with me, is that to see her experience. Faroe Islands, we're like, there's so much food. And I just came back and I said, I need to have a break. And there's like 3 heavy meats a day.
So, talk us through, what would you have for breakfast, for example? Is it your
It could be rye bread, rye bread with cheese, jam, normal, like pretty British in that way. And in some cases you would have oatmeal porridge as well. That I remember because obviously being part of a big family, we got this almost canned food every day, so it was made in masses. So for me, being brought up, it's almost like a summer camp. We had 2 bunk beds in one bedroom, so we're 4 boys sleeping. So with the 4 boys running around, so you can imagine my mom, what she's been through.
Very resilient woman.
Yeah.
And she makes her own bread.
Exactly.
Where did she find the time?
Absolutely. And she was washing all of her clothes. We were all playing football. So
you had a whole team.
We actually played a football team at the local festa, where we're 11 brothers against an old championship team. So. And I don't think there's been so many spectators in that stadium since then. So,
the rest of the family dragon.
Yeah, no, it is, you know, it was a pretty popular event.
So football's quite a big thing over there anyway.
Absolute sports is like, we have to do something in our spare time. So we are really pretty good sports achievers. We have a pretty popular football team, which is... have some success, and there's a lot of work going into the youth, a lot of work. Okay. We have the number 3 1500 meter interval swimmer.
Okay.
So his name is Pott, and which is Paul. He, from in World Cups, he swims for the Faroe Islands, but in Olympic Games, he swims for Denmark. That's an interesting situation, because the Olympic Committee doesn't recognize Faroe Islands as a country.
Right.
So, some...
there's some jostling.
Yes.
Some jostling. Oh, well. And for... we were talking about special occasions. You were talking about the confirmation, then, of children. Is there special cakes or anything like that they have at the party?
Yeah. There's a lot of cakes, but they're not local. But so, it's in that way, the desserts are pretty Scandinavian or Danish. But the Faroese have managed to take it further. So, it's an art itself. There's a lot of women who are... really, really good cake bakers.
Okay.
Really. So you will have at least 3-4 cakes. So you have a First you have savory stuff on mm-hmm. one, where you have all the Faroese meat, lamb, sausage, and some occasion also dried whale meat, so which is a bit controversial for some. And then you have a cake area, which is just a cake buffet. So it's like, it's all about food, socializing, and you know.
Do you get a lot of ingredients brought in, and has that influenced the food, or is it still pretty traditional?
Yes, but like, there, we are, let's say, a potato country. We're like really little rice or pasta.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I would say, a potato country, so very similar to Scotland. So me and my family, it would last for 3-4 months. With our family, it's pretty...
That's quite good with 13 children.
Yeah. So that's pretty amazing. The food itself is... So imagine 100 or 150 years ago, you know, the isolation, completely isolated from the rest of the world, connected with a ferry to Denmark, Shetland or Iceland. But otherwise, it's society which has been through a lot of rough circumstances.
With people invading, or
no, not that. I would say who would invade Faroe Islands, like, because it's a really rough. Only you have to be born there to live there.
Okay.
So it's pretty hard coming from the outside.
What's the best time of year to go that would make it not? I mean, not in terms of the beauty of the storms, for example, but to be able to go around and see things.
Anytime from now. So it's we're in April, but from May up till September, then it's a little bit chilly. Don't go there to get a tan. Go there. And what is amazing is the 24-hour light, and almost 24-hour light in summer. So in July, the sun doesn't set. So just to explain, we had my brother's wedding, and me and my partner, Joanna, we were at this. So the wedding goes on as a sit-down, three-course menu with a lot of speeches, and we sing a lot. So you get a book, booklet, and then you open, and then you sing.
Between each course, or it's...
Running, the Toastmaster runs. So there's speeches, a lot of singing, so more, and then there are some more religious families, and then they don't serve alcohol, or only wine, but in more open, let's call it open weddings, you have the aquavit, which is Danish, and that runs around, and then people get louder, and then the drunk uncles have the more embarrassing. And then you wrap up, and then clear the floor, and at this particular wedding, it was in July, the weather was beautiful, like very unique, beautiful as well, and warm. So the band started playing, it was around 3-4 o'clock, and if you were looking at horizon, the sun only bounced at the sea and up again. So clear. At 4 a.m. in the morning. So then you go home 1 or 2 days after, bright sunlight, and you go to bed.
I see. So after all this singing, you start the dancing, and it just continues and continues? That's what normally
happens. Yes, exactly.
So is there a normal church wedding ceremony? Is that what happens in general?
So now it's common now to have civil weddings at the court or the city council house.
Okay, and then is there one in every island?
Yeah, the island. So the biggest city is Tórshavn, is the capital. Tórshavn has around 20,000 inhabitants.
Okay.
And the rest are spread. There are only two or three islands which are not. People don't live there.
Okay.
And then you have islands with 4 or 5 people. So, like, really some scary stuff there.
Yes, they might not have any celebrations.
But it's I think they know it. It's, and our infrastructure is really good. We have two sub-tunnels. You know, there are some benefits of being part of Denmark, so that's one of those.
So you can actually get to Denmark through one of these tunnels as
well? Internally. So the central islands, which are connecting around 6-7 islands in central area, which will cover around 85-90% of the population.
And so that's obviously because of the extreme weather conditions.
It's more also, we export a lot of what the dust is, so it's not easy, that the reason that they're doing it is to make the infrastructure a bit smoother to transport what we produce, one of the best salmon in the world.
Okay.
So that's, we have companies like Hidden Fjord and Bakkafrost, which are listed on the Norwegian stock market, and they're just growing, and it's class 1 salmon, which is all the sushi, so you have different classes.
Okay.
Most of it goes for class 1.
Okay. And so are you a little nervous that the Faroe Islands are going to change with this?
Well, I think everything's good, because if you always see Faroe Islands changing, or if you see changing as a problem, then yes, Faroe Islands is going to change, because now they're making more, they're trying to optimize the tourism now, where in the, let's say, 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't take money for giving some a stranger a piece of bread with some meat on it. But now people, okay, let's do it because then we can make an industry out of it. It's just, let's go to my house. And just an explanation of how tight-knit the Faroe Islands are is that we went to the Faroe Islands for 2 weeks, and my partner said, you know, I love your family, I love, you know, the food and everything, but let's try to go to a restaurant. And in the area that I lived as a kid, there's not a lot of restaurants. So we went to the bowling alley, which was also a pizzeria. So we went there, okay, let's have a pizza. So we go in, and there was a big birth celebration of one of my family members. So we said, oh, hey, come in. So we had to join them with the same buffets and things. So it's like, I guess you can't escape it. But so if you go to Pyeongchang, which is the capital, you'll find more restaurants, so it's pretty popular.
So the traditional food is really what you'd want to go for. You'd want to try, but you wouldn't want to go for pizza, really.
No. And now I think they're celebrating it more now. So Tórshavn, once a year, we have St. Olaf's Fest, which is the biggest celebration, apart from the religious ones.
Right.
This is not even a religious one, because it's just it's a party of 3 days, where you just walk up and down. There's around 10,000 people walking up down the street to say hello. And we have this national costume, which is reflecting also like the Norwegian national costume. So it's usually a red, green, or red, green, black, blue, sometimes a vest, which is embroidered with flowers, silver buttons, a jumper with a silver chain between her. That's for the men, and then short pants, like farmer trousers proper, with silver buttons and long socks up.
So you literally just parade and...
Yeah, it's a parade, but it's really... Now it's become more and more popular to go to, what's it called, the weddings and those, and to be married. So if you're... The trend is to have the white vest.
Right.
So you get married. So, and then the black one is for funerals, and then you have more colorful ones, red, blue, green, for, and then the woman suit is also a big dress with a lot of silverware and a big scarf or shawl. Okay. So that's, it's pretty interesting, one has to experience, and I like that tradition.
What time of year is that in?
In July, end of July, so 27, 28, 29, and then you just see around 5,000-6,000 people in these suits.
And so... To get to the Faroe Islands, now you can fly?
Yeah. That's airstrip was made just pre-war, around the war.
So the
Brits were there, so we're occupied by the Brits, but we're defended. They placed it between two mountains, so it's a pretty interesting interesting dive. So and it's a shock every time. I'm so used to it. So it's just a bit of turbulence, and then you land, you know, on this.
I was quite looking forward to trying it out, but I think you might.
So you will fly from Norway or Denmark, from Oslo or Copenhagen. And then there's seasonal flights from UK.
What about trying to go by sea, or is that...
You go with cruise liner, you rent, you get a cabin, and then it's around 36 hours, 1.5 days, 2 nights.
Okay.
So that's, you know, then you manage to see the sea, and then, you know, it's...
The approach and everything.
Yeah, and the approach is nice as well. So you can go there, and you can stop in the Faroe Islands on the way to Iceland, for example. So that's pretty affordable for if you go as a family.
Going on the ferry like that is also another adventure, isn't it? You know, contained.
We've been both, so it's we had a cabin on the cruise liner, which is called Norena. And it's just like you have a proper cabin for yourself.
Do they have lots of seafaring? Because you said, you know, fish is a big traditional food. Is there a lot of other activities on the sea, or is it's treacherous?
The thing is, there's... Like I said, the weather conditions are pretty hard, so it's not we don't go surfing, but there has been some surfing. So there's more and more activity, which are more and more safer. This, but entire towns or villages used to be wiped out because you could they went out with oars, or how to call it, like all the 16 men of the town, village, whatever, would go out fishing, and they got lost in the weather.
Okay.
So the only thing which left is the old people, children, and the women.
Okay.
So, there's a story. There's actually a ghost, what we call a ghost, the village in Faroe Islands. It was left after two boats of that town. So we have, let's say, love-hate relationship to the sea.
You depend on it,
Yeah, exactly. And this, it has. We always said it has given and it's taken. So.
because you said the country's Protestant, but is there any sort of other of these, like, you know, Nordic-type gods that you sort of worship in festivals around that?
I was, prior to this conversation, I said, let me try to invent something. But we are we're Protestant, but I think we're pretty proud to be white. So we have this, of course, based on circumstances and the conditions, we have been through a lot, you know, through us, you know, of being independent in a way that we will just take what there is. So it's traditions. I don't know if, like, can't point anything out, but we're actually proud to be a part of the Nordic mythology, or how do you call it? So that it's popular. They're obviously not practiced, but you have names as Thor, or not Loki, but you had Odin and new names, and that's become more and more popular now.
And you were saying that the language is obviously only spoken by the people there, so trying to retain it. Yeah. Is there a move by the governments as well to?
Yeah, so in 1888, it was declared as they created the written language, because it has been passed on as like Maltese,
yes,
passed on by mouth. Now they got it down on paper, and they do a lot to maintain it. So they even invent new words for modern things. So helicopter has its own word. Laptops and mobiles have their own new names.
Well, what's the word for helicopter, just to?
Tirla.
Tirla.
Yeah. So that's, we call it Tirla, we don't call it helicopter.
Mm.
I'm going with Tirla, I'm not going with the helicopter. Oh. But, so, and of course there's a mix of things, some modern things, and then they're trying to, some of the words become a bit too fancy for me. Then you take the words which are more natural to you. So
if somebody, I'm guessing the population speaks
Faroese,
and do they any other languages?
Danish is because of where it's mandatory to have Danish in second grade, I think it is.
Okay.
So everybody speaks Danish. Mm-hmm. For sure. If you come there as Scandinavian, it's easier to communicate. So the way that we speak Danish is we call it Scandinavian instead, because the Danes have a really hard pronunciation of their own language, so there's a lot of letters just disappear. But in our way, is that the way that we read it and speak it, all Swedish and Norwegians would understand us as well. So it's interesting.
As though, you know, otherwise you'd be quite a closed community otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not as close as it's been, but how to call it? I think it's interesting if you look at it from a social perspective.
Okay. And talking of, you know, social in general, though, not on the same level, but things like gatherings and get-togethers, is it all families? Do you change villages? Is it?
Yeah. It's all families. It's so coming from a big family, that's pretty, you know, if somebody's invited, you get a Facebook invite, and then, you know, you just have to be ready that everybody is coming. But and obviously there's, how to call it, a lot of the same family, so you can imagine the mix of the families is not, our gene pool is not massive.
And so things like Christmas, that must get quite busy.
Yeah, especially for us. But I've always been brought up, even though it's a religious feast, I always try to defend, because I'm an atheist myself, so that's a celebration which is so ingrained in myself that I want to pass it on, because it was such a nice time where we have 3 days of this just pure relaxation and a lot of eating, board games and celebrations, parties.
And this is around the 24th, 25th, 26th?
Yeah, 24, 25, 26 are 3 days you just dedicate to your family, and you just sit and you know, or you drive to somewhere. How to call it? The celebration itself, Christmas, is from the Nordic or the pagan celebration. It's called Yule. That's where you know, all the logs and the evergreen. Yeah. That's where the traditions are coming from. So that's the opposite. You know, it's really dark. So you have like 2-3 hours of sunlight. So you have to go out and catch the, you know, if there's even the sunlight, but the daylight.
Ah.
So if you wake up an hour late, it's pretty heavy. It's a really heavy.
Miss the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you don't have sheep again for Christmas Day, do you? Is that
yes, usually in our family we used to have a goose or a duck on Christmas Eve. So our celebration, because we're Protestant, we celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, like Christmas itself. Mm-hmm. Then Christmas Day is the second day, so which is not, here is more Christmas Day, is more than Christmas Eve, right? there in Faroe Islands, we have Christmas Eve. So I brought the traditions to our house here in Malta, and I think it's pretty popular because we have around 20 guests every Christmas. So there is duck, or you can make sheep, whatever, and there's fish, and then in our family we had the fermented meat, which also can be cooked.
Okay.
So it's a really interesting cuisine.
And you do all the cooking at home now, because when you have... when you're bringing food from home, you do the cooking.
I think in our household I do around 85-90% of the cooking. So, and I like that. So it's like I think I'm pretty blessed with obviously my father was working a lot because obviously to support a family. My mother took care of the holistic part of the family, which I appreciate, and I took a lot of I cared a lot from that into our home. And then the second day is the same. You have the buffets, and then, you know, exactly.
And so, do you have any other celebrations that through the year that not, you know, not the usual traditional ones, but I'd say these, you know, any Viking celebrations that are something unusual to?
Yeah, and there are different parts. So the Faroe Islands, the main area, which is Streymoy, where the capital, I'm from the second biggest island, and there are the local festas, like here in Malta. So I couldn't compare it more because it's like Malta in the North Atlantic. So any excuse to celebrate a party. And one of the, there's a lot of the music culture, not only the sport, but the music culture is massive, and it's really sophisticated because they do a lot. So you from a population of 3,000, you would have like 4 or 5 bands writing their own music.
Crazy.
So it's, and they come pretty far on the international stage. We have the G Festival, which is one of the most unique music festivals in the world. It's on a beach in the Faroe Islands, obviously, and when the weather's nice, it's people go swimming. Probably they had a bit too much alcohol too, because it's really cold, but it's a pretty popular thing. And we have the local festas, so obviously there's the St. Olaf's Fest, and then we have in my town's Varmachelda. It's just like directly translated to hot source, where it's actually but we don't have the same as Athens, so this is really unique. So it's just a pump of warm water. So if you, so I was always thinking of why aren't they just digging a hole so people can sit in there? But it's, so you have the local, all the local festas are, so there are bigger ones in Southern Islands. They are famous for New Year's Eve, where they have a big procession of a torch, like so that's pretty interesting. So that's a proper Viking celebration. Okay,
You're going to be almost as sturdy as a Viking to go there at New Year, I would imagine.
It's really rough. Sometimes, you know, it's definitely cold. So it's sometimes, I think in my, around Christmas, it was Christmas Eve, Christmas Day last year, in my hometown, a house just like was ripped up. Obviously one of the new houses, but it was just taken by the wind, you know.
Wow.
But one of newer buildings, but the normal houses are dug properly into the ground.
That's quite something.
Yeah.
That sounds quite scary. It actually sounds fascinating. I'm really going to go and read up some more about the Faroe Islands. Thank you so much, Henry. That's been really interesting. Thank you for joining me on The Good Manners Map.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us on our journey around the world on The Good Manners Map here on Campus FM with myself, Monique Chambers, and the technicians, Carmelo and Samuel.